Let's take our Bible once again and turn to the book of Genesis. This morning we come to chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Genesis is again a familiar story, maybe not quite as familiar as the story of Noah and the ark that we looked at last week and the week before, but albeit a familiar passage of scripture. And so I trust again that it will be a help and a blessing to us. Let's never think that the scripture, because it's familiar to us, is just, oh yeah, I know that story, but may God help us to just realize what we can learn from his word through these great stories of scripture. And let's remember that they're not just bedtime stories for children. They're not just old wives' tales or what have you. They are the truth. They are history. They're God's history recorded in his sacred word for us. They weren't exaggerated as they were passed down from one generation to the next. They were recorded under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and everything in them is true and is helpful for us in our Christian life, as well as giving us a history of what happened in days gone by. This morning, we come to chapter 11 and think about communication, or perhaps as the title of the message is this morning, you see on the screen there, communication failure. Communication is actually an amazing thing, isn't it? That we can think about what we want to say, that we can say it, somebody else hears it, they understand it, and can act upon it. It's a marvelous thing to think about, that the way that communication works. Sometimes we don't even have to say anything, and we communicate. We often hear about using, you know, people's body language is telling a story and so on. But communication is a great thing. When communication is good and people work together, there's probably little that can't be done. It's a lot of things that can be accomplished because people are communicating, people are working together. As in the book of Nehemiah, the people had a mind to work, they communicated well, and great things were done. The walls of the city were rebuilt despite the opposition that they faced. But when communication breaks down, and it does quite often, then there becomes a problem. Become several problems, of course, depending on the situation. And again, it does often break down. One of the leading problems in marriage is a lack of effective communication. That's just a fact. And that's something that we need to be reminded about over and over and over again. Communication is so vital and so important for a good relationship. There are several reasons that for communication does fail. And we don't have time to consider them all this morning. But I'd like us to think about a few this morning, just for a minute. Sometimes the communicator doesn't get his or her thought across effectively. And we've all been there. You ask, say, well, what are you trying to say? And they're just not effectively expressing what they really mean or what they want to get across. So they're not getting that communication across. More often than not, though, I think the communication breakdown is on the end of the listening rather than the end of the speaking. And sometimes the communication breaks down because the listener doesn't really listen to what is being said. We think we know what that other person is going to say, or we think we know what they mean, so we automatically fill in the blanks without really listening to what is being said. We're not listening to the actual words. We're listening to what we think that they mean. Of course, there's other issues as well. And one of those would be that there's times when people think that they know better than the person that's speaking. And so the person is saying something and we say, yeah, I know that's what they're saying, but really, I know better than that, so I don't have to listen. Sometimes that's a problem with children listening to their parents, especially that those teenage times, think, hey, we know better than that. We know better. We don't have to listen because, yeah, that's what they say, but we have a better idea. And sometimes communication breaks down because the person is not listening because they say, I have a better plan and a better idea, so I'm not really going to listen to what that person has to say. But then there's a problem in communication when people do not speak the same language. If somebody is speaking a language that you do not understand, then there's a problem in communication. We say, I don't understand what that person's saying, so there's an issue with communication. So this morning in Genesis chapter 11, we'll see communication failure and its impact on the world that continues to impact our world even today. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And when they had, then they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of the all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Let's pray together. Lord, this morning we are thankful that we can read this familiar story and see it hopefully from a light that will help us to understand some things that we need to implement in our life. God, we know that you have given us your word to teach us and instruct us. And so this morning we pray that we would be students of your word, that we would listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through your word to our hearts, and that we would act upon that which we would hear. Lord, may there not be a communication breakdown in the communication that you would give to us this morning. We know that the problem would not be on your end if that's the case, but on ours. For Lord, often we think we know better, or we have our own preconceived ideas of stories in the Bible and what they mean and what they mean to us. But I pray, Lord, this morning that you would help us to hear from you, and that we would learn that which you would have us to learn and apply in our lives, we pray. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So think about this morning. The Bible says that there was a common language. Verse 1 says the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. The whole earth all spoke the same language. The whole earth. Who was the whole earth? What does that mean, the whole earth at that point in time? Well, the whole earth, of course, was those who came off the ark. It was eight who went onto the ark and eight who came off the ark. It's not talking about the animals. This isn't a Dr. Doolittle kind of situation here. This is talking about the people of the whole earth that all spoke the same language. Of course, when God made the world, there was only two people, and they would have spoken the same language. Although husbands and wives, sometimes we say, are we really speaking the same language, even though we're speaking the same language, if you know what I mean. Sometimes we have trouble communicating, as we've already mentioned. We don't know what that first language was. Was it Hebrew? Some have conjectured that it would have been Hebrew. Perhaps it was, perhaps it wasn't. But after the flood, the same situation was that all these people, the descendants, the eight people that came off the ark, they all spoke the same language. They had children, they had children, they had children, they had children. Generations proceeded, and for the first couple of generations, they all spoke the same language. They were of one speech. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now sometimes we read things like that in the Bible and we say, well, why does God repeat it? One language and one speech. Isn't that the same thing? The very same thing. One language, one speech would mean the same. But rather than that, we see that God is giving us a little bit of different information here between these two terms. The word for language refers to the pronunciation. Now in our way of thinking, language would refer to the actual language, and speech may refer to the pronunciation, but not so with the original words here. And so language refers to the pronunciation, and speech refers to the words themselves, that vocabulary, we might say, of the language. In other words, the people spoke the same words with the same dialect, the same accent, if you will. They spoke the same exact language. You know, you can understand people from your own hometown and country better than anybody else. I mean, that's if you haven't been removed from your hometown and country. I mean, if you're growing up and stay there, you can understand people from that town and country probably better than somebody else. Sometimes you don't need to say much, and somebody that knows you very well, that you probably grew up with perhaps, they automatically just know what you mean. Now, sometimes that can be dangerous, as we said, because people presuppose what you mean, and you may not know what you mean, what may not be what you're really trying to communicate. But it may make no sense to somebody else, but people that grow up together, that know one another very well, can often speak very little, and the communication is there. My wife tells me that when I speak to my brothers or my mom on the telephone, she can tell that I'm speaking to either my mom or my brothers on the telephone, because I guess naturally, without thinking, I revert to the same language and accent, perhaps, that I grew up with. Automatically, I don't do it on purpose, but it's just something that automatically happens. But think about our languages. We say we speak English in Canada. We say they speak English in England. We say they speak English in the United States. And many other places in the world, we could say they speak English. But if you go to those different places, even different parts of those same countries, you will say, well, this doesn't sound the same as it did there. I grew up in England, as many of you know, and many people automatically think that everybody in England sounds like the Queen. Well, we never sounded like the Queen. We never spoke like the Queen. The Queen's English is not our English. We speak English, but we don't sound the same. You don't even have to go very far from the palace where the Queen lives, and you find English that sounds absolutely nothing like even English, hardly. Because the accents change so much. There are many dialects and terms that are different. And so the accent is different. So it's English, but it's not really English. A number of years ago, Carolyn and I went to England. And there were times I could see in the conversations that she didn't understand what the people were saying. Well, were they speaking English? Yes, they were speaking English, but they weren't speaking Southern Ontario Canadian English. They were speaking Northern England English. It was different. There's some terms and statements that are different. She didn't understand what they said. Sometimes at the end of the day, I say, what didn't you understand today? And we would go through and talk about different words that were used and said. You know, when I learned French in school, they told us we were learning French, Parisian French. And I said, now if you go to Quebec, some of this French that you're learning, it won't be exactly the same. They'll be able to understand you, but you won't necessarily be able to understand them because the dialect is different, the accent is different, and there's different words that are used in the Quebec French. It's not used in the French, France French. And I'm sure that that's the case in many other parts of the world that use French. And the same with Spanish, and the same with different languages. I'm sure that you go to different parts of the world and they may speak the same language, but it is different. But the people in Genesis chapter 11 would have had no problem that way. Because the Bible says that not only did they use the same vocabulary, they had the same dialect, they had the same accent, their language was the same in every way. They were well able to understand one another. So they had a common language, but they also had a common goal. They had a common goal. They wanted to build a city and a tower. And we read about that in the second verse and so on. It says they came to Shinar and they said one to another, let us make brick. And it says in verse 4, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven. They had a common goal. We are going to build us a city and we are going to build a tower. That sounds harmless enough. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with building a place to live? What's wrong with building a community where we can inhabit together? It sounds like it would be a harmless thing, a positive thing. But this goal actually shows that there was a communication breakdown. See, what do you mean? I thought you said that they understood one another very well and they understood one another perfectly. Yes, they did. But they hadn't listened well to what God had told them. There was a communication breakdown, not amongst themselves, but between what God had said and what they had heard and what they had listened to. Now, the communication wasn't that God didn't make it clear. The communication problem was they said, God may have said that, but we have a better idea. We want to do what we want to do. They understood one another, and they together said, we like what we have thought, but we don't like what God had said. We think we know better than what God wants us to do. And so we find that there was then disobedience in this common goal. God had told Noah that he and his family were to multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. When they got off the ark, God said, okay, we gave the offerings. And in chapter 8, life began to get back to normal, shall we say, a new normal. In chapter 9 of Genesis, God said, listen, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, you and your families, you're going to multiply and you're going to refill the earth, to repopulate the earth, spread out over the whole earth. Here we are in Genesis chapter 11. We're not far from Genesis chapter 9. Not a whole lot of time has gone by. Maybe 100 years has gone by. That mandate would still have been known. People knew what God wanted them to do. Do you think within 100 years of the flood, when God had said, destroyed the earth and started over again, you think God is, it means what he says? We ought to obey God and we ought to do what God said. But the people said, God may have told us to spread out over the whole earth, but we've got a better idea. We want to stick together. We want to be a close-knit people. We like this valley. We like this plain of Shinar. We like this area, and we're going to build us a city here, and we're going to make us a name for ourselves. It doesn't matter what God says. We want to do what we want to do. It wasn't a problem understanding what God said. It was just a lack of willingness to do it. You realize that in what they did in building this tower and this common goal, there was also disbelief. Do you notice what it says there? It says in verse number 4, that let us build us a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Why would they want the top of a tower to reach to heaven? That's a long way up. That's a tall tower that they were planning on building. And they said, let us make it high enough that the top will reach to heaven. Were they perhaps thinking, if God destroys the earth again by a flood, if we have a tower that's tall enough, we can just go to the top and we can survive. We don't need to worry about being destroyed by a flood. We don't need to be worried about making an ark to keep ourselves safe. We can just go to the top of the tower that reaches to heaven and we will be safe. Were they thinking that they could save themselves? After all, they probably thought, we're smarter than our ancestors. Why didn't they do something about that? Why didn't they save themselves from that flood? But do you not recall what God said in Genesis? I do set my bow in the cloud. And when you see that bow in the cloud, remember that rainbow? Remember, I will no more destroy the earth by a flood. So by building a tower that's top reached to heaven, if they were thinking that they were going to go to the top to save themselves, were they not saying, we don't believe that God's God of His Word. We don't believe that God won't destroy the earth again. I don't care what the rainbow says. I don't believe that God is going to keep His Word. There was disbelief. And there was defiance. Rather than giving glory to God who'd given the opportunity to do His will and to start over again, what do they want to do? We want to make a name for us. Not like Noah, who last week we say got off the ark and worshiped God and gave glory to God. No, these people said, we want to make us a name. We want people to look back to our day and our time and say, wow, look at those people. Look what they did. They wanted to reach heaven without going through God or going His way. To make a name for themselves to prevent being scattered over the whole earth. In their conversation to talk about that, where they said, let us make us a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven. Let us make us a name that lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Is God's name in there anywhere? No, it's all about us. Us, us, us. We don't want to be scattered. We want to make us a name. We want to do this. There's no mention about God. No giving glory to God. No, we want to make us a name. If you turn back to chapter 10, if you look at verse 8, the Bible says, Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. We see that Ham, in verse 6, one of the sons of Noah, begat Cush. Cush begat Nimrod. So we're not very far away, we're not very far back since the flood, as we said. This is fairly close, but here is Nimrod, the grandson of Ham, just two generations away. What does he want to do? Make a name for himself. Nimrod, the mighty hunter. Nimrod was a mighty man. People would rather have been named after Nimrod than obey God and follow God's word and God's way. Rather than be named after all-powerful God, they said, we want our name to follow after this powerful man, this mighty man. It's reminiscent, isn't it, of Isaiah chapter 14, where the story is given to us of Lucifer. What did Lucifer say? Lucifer, who was an exalted angel, one of God's great angels, what did he say? He said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. I will be like the Most High. And I. Lucifer was only interested in exalting himself. These people, Nimrod, the descendants here in chapter 11, what were they interested in doing? Making a name for themselves. And isn't it much the same in our day today? People have little or no time for God and His Word. It's all about me. I've got to do this, and I want to do this, and I've got to do this with my life, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. I believe that today we have more access to the Bible than probably any time in history. Bibles are printed. You can go to the dollar store and buy a Bible. You can find Bibles, bookstores, you can get an app for your phone, you can get an app for your computer, you can get an app for your tablet. The Bible is so readily available. But I would have to say that the Bible is probably less read today than in most generations past, percentage-wise anyway. See, people are not saying, we don't have time for God and that old book that He wrote. We were too busy with us. They don't care what God says is right or wrong. They just choose to do the things that they like. And they decide, just like the people of Babel. Well, yeah, that's what maybe what people say the Bible says, but I don't care what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what God says is right and wrong. I feel I want to do this. I want to live this way. And I want to do what I want to do. And they ignore God. They ignore His Word. God has given us warnings and promises about the end of the world and His return. And what do people do? They make light of it. Just as Peter said they would. Oh, where's the promise of His coming? Oh, everything's still the same. That's just old-fashioned stuff. It's not true. Man ignores these things and does his own thing, thinking he can preserve the world himself. God says the world will be preserved until He says it's going to be no longer. But man says, oh, I can preserve the world. We'll do everything we can. And I'm not saying it's wrong to look after the creation that God has given us. But people say, we will preserve the world. God says, I will preserve the world until one day I say it's over. And then the world will be destroyed. Rather than be thankful to their Creator, man is more interested in making a name for himself and taking all God's blessings for granted as if we deserve them. People take heaven. Doesn't everyone talk about heaven? Everyone talks about heaven. Even a person who says they don't believe in God, they all think if there's a funeral, oh, that person went to heaven. So everyone wants to talk about heaven. And you know, if there's an afterlife, I want to go there. I want to go to heaven. It'll be a great place. We're all going to be there. The wonderful place that God has told us about, a beautiful place, a place beyond compare that our minds cannot conceive, because God said that eye has not seen or ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And what does man say? Man says, hey, you know, I can get there any old way I want. I can build my own tower to get to heaven. And it really doesn't matter what anyone believes, we're all going to end up in the same place. We're all going to go there one day, and it's all going to be just nice, and, you know, just be good, be sincere, be religious if you want, be irreligious if you want, but it doesn't matter. We're all going to go to heaven. We're all going to be there. We're all going to build our own little tower, but it's going to ascend to heaven. Sounds a lot like these people, doesn't it? Let us build us a tower. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad from the earth. Our tower is going to ascend to heaven. But what does God say? God says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, these people understood one another just fine. They had a common goal, but the problem was they didn't understand God's communication. They knew what He said, but they didn't want to listen to what it was. And so we see that there was a common language and a common goal. We see there was a common concern in verse number 9. It says, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had builded. As always, God was concerned. See, that's really not a common concern in the one sense. It's an uncommon concern, because why would God care? People are going to turn their back on Him again. Why did He care? But it was common in the sense that it wasn't the first time, was it, that God came down. God came down to see what was going on. It wasn't that God in heaven couldn't see. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The Bible says that the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men. It's not that God is oblivious to what's going on down on the earth, but God came down to take a closer look at what was going on. Realize this, that it shows us that God is interested in the affairs of man. He doesn't just sit back in heaven. You hear people talk about God sometime and they say, oh, God sits back in heaven. He's sitting on a rocking chair with a long gray beard and is oblivious to what's going on down on the earth. No, that's not true at all. The Bible says that God came down. He's interested in the affairs of man. What happened when Adam and Eve had taken the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God came down. In the cool of the day, God came down. Adam! Adam! Where are you? God came down to see Adam and Eve. He knew what they'd done. But God came down. In Genesis chapter 18, God says, let us go down and see Sodom and Gomorrah and the wickedness that has ascended up before me. Let us go down and see. And we know the story that God came down. He appeared to Abraham. And he said, shall I hide from my friend Abraham what I'm going to do? And he came down, spoke to Abraham, and then the angels went on to Sodom. In Exodus chapter 19, the Bible records that God came down upon Mount Sinai to meet with His people, to give them the law. And Moses met with God. Oh, but it's a precious one, isn't there? In John chapter 1, what does the Bible say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 11 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came down. God came down, not just to see, but to pay the price for our sin, to be our Savior. When will people realize that God cares? When will people realize that God comes down by His Holy Spirit and to work in the hearts of mankind, to speak to the heart of people, to draw them to Himself? When will people realize that God cares so much? God is not off in heaven ignoring man. He is watching. He is watching with an eye of concern over the hearts and the souls of man. When God came down, the Bible says, verse 6, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. You know, when God saw what man did, it concerned Him. This wasn't about God being unfair and holding man back and saying, hey, we don't want this man to get too good here, so too good about being able to do things, so we're going to have to do something about it. No, this was about God seeing the imagination of man's heart. Chapter 6, He already saw it, didn't He? Before the flood, He saw that every thought of the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. He knew the possibilities. He knew the direction of man's thoughts here in chapter 9. And when He saw that man's imaginations, He said, nothing will be held from them for what they've imagined to do. God knew the danger of them following their imaginations. He knew that it would be a dangerous thing for man to follow their imagination. It certainly isn't here about unity being a bad thing. God is not saying, I wish they didn't get along. I wish they would fight with one another instead of getting along. No, it's not about that. God was concerned about the collaboration of man and where it was leading to. Remember, always remember that God knows what is best for us. He knows what we need. He knows what's best for mankind. And when He says that He is concerned about the direction that we are headed through His Word, we need to realize that that means that God cares about us, and that means we need to take heed to what He says. God was concerned about these people and the direction that they were headed to. God knows what is best, and He is concerned not just about the short term, He's concerned about the long term. He's concerned about where that is leading to in our life. Sometimes all we see is the short term. We see this, I'll just do this, and it's fine. People see things that they like. I saw a sign on a church, I've seen it several times, it's near where I work, and it says, if the wages of sin were paid immediately, there'd be far less people following after it. See, God sees the long term, doesn't He? He sees what's coming up. He sees what is ahead. And God was concerned about the people here as He saw what was ahead of them. And so the Bible says that He confounded the language. You know, God wasn't surprised at what was taking place. It wasn't that God looked down and went, what? They're building a tower? I got to go down and have a closer look. What's going on here? No, God wasn't surprised. It wasn't that God said, oh man, now what am I going to do? God knew exactly what He was going to do. He had a plan of what He was going to do to resolve the situation and to cease the building of the Tower of Babel and fulfill His word. God knew that the most effective means of hindering what they were doing and fulfilling, then to also fulfill His plan, would all be fulfilled in one action. He said He would confound their language. The word confound means to mix up, to throw into disorder. God caused the people not to be able to understand one another by creating different languages. In the midst of the job, in the midst of the work, suddenly one person spoke Spanish, another person spoke English, another person spoke Dutch, another person spoke Tagalog, another person spoke French, another person, and they all spoke different languages. All of a sudden, they couldn't understand one another. They're in the middle of building, and you know what it's like. Some of you know what it's like to work on building things, maybe, or to work on working together on some things. Maybe you bought a cupboard from IKEA or somewhere. You have to put it together, and you're working together. And here's the G screws, and here's the N bolts, and here's the L washers, and you're working with somebody. You pass me this, and pass me that, and okay, you tighten this one up here, and I'll tighten that one up there. And you're working together on those things. Can you imagine if all of a sudden language changed? Sometimes it feels like that way when you look at the instructions. You go, what language are these in? You found the right one that matches what you can understand, but it still doesn't make sense. But can you imagine the confusion and the frustration of what was taking place? Somebody says, hey, pass me another brick. Pardon? What? What do you mean? Pass me a brick. Je comprends pas. I just said, pass me a brick. What are you saying? Confusion, complete confusion. I said, hey, can you tell this? Okay, forget it. Somebody else, can you pass me a brick? Nobody can understand. They didn't understand one another because all of a sudden the language were confused. Imagine how frustrating it would have been. Imagine trying to figure out what in the world is that person trying to say? What are they trying to do? We've been working on this for weeks, and now all of a sudden they're like babbling away in some other... What are they even saying? We've never even heard other languages before. It's not like they said, wait a minute, are you speaking French? Wait a minute, is that Spanish? Is that Italian? What is that Dutch? What is this? They'd never heard other languages before. They'd all been of one language. One accent, understanding everything. But now all of a sudden they couldn't understand what one another was saying. They didn't understand why they couldn't understand. And so it caused the building to stop. Though perhaps some of them You know, they found enough people that spoke their language. Maybe they could have carried on, but it didn't work anymore. Because their language is being confused their goal. And it confused where they were headed. And all of a sudden, they got so frustrated with one another, they just said, you know what? I think we're going to carry on and we're going to go to the next plane. We're going to start us a city over there. And somebody else said, well, if they're going there, I'm going to go further. I'm going to go beyond that. And they left off building the city and the tower, and they were scattered, the Bible tells us in verse 9. They say that this tower that was begun at Babel stayed in some sort of condition until 331 B.C. when Alexander the Great decided to destroy it because he thought he would rebuild it to make a tower, probably for his own name. But then he died in the process before that took place. And so it was just destroyed. But because of their languages being mixed up, they parted ways and were scattered on the face of the earth. What is that? That's exactly what God said He wanted them to do in the first place. When they understood one another, they weren't fulfilling what God had communicated to them. But now that they couldn't understand one another, they perhaps unwittingly fulfilled the communication that God had given them in the first place. And they went and fulfilled what God had said for them to do. The name of the tower. Oh, remember that? They wanted to build a name for themselves. Hey, we're going to build a tower. We're going to build a city. We're going to build a name for ourselves. Yeah, you know what that name means? Confusion. Well, that's a great reputation to have, isn't it? You look back at those people. Oh, they built a name for themselves. Their name means confused. Confusion. Babel. And we still use the term today, don't we? What is that person babbling about? If we don't understand. What are they babbling on about? Babel. Babel. Blah, 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 blah. You say, what are they talking? Well, they had a name for themselves. I don't think it was probably the name that they wanted. I don't think it was probably the name that they expected that it was going to be. The attempt of man to make a name for himself stands as a testimony to the authority of God, doesn't it? God said He turns the wisdom of this world into foolishness. The people had communicated with each other just fine, but they had failed to heed the communication from God. But hey, God got His message across. And they fulfilled His plan. Oh, God's message became loud and clear, didn't it? Scatter. Go all across the earth. And we see the result of that still today. Why is the world populated all over the place? Because God said that's where He wanted it to be. To scatter. Their languages were different. Why do people speak different languages in different places? Because God scattered the people. And they scattered according to their languages. You know, people can fight against God's plan and seem to succeed for a while. You know, the city got started, the tower got started, but it didn't get finished. Ultimately, God knows what is best, and His will be accomplished. You know, you can choose either to be on God's side and work towards the goals that God wants done, or you can try and fight against them. One way, you're going to be satisfied with what's accomplished because that's what God wanted. The other way, you're going to be frustrated at every corner. Impossibility. Why? Because you're fighting against God. Isn't that what the advice that Gamaliel gave to the Jewish council? If you'd be found to fight against God, you're going to fail. You're going to fall flat. So you can either choose to be on God's side and help to fulfill His purpose or to try and stand in His way, but ultimately, God's will prevail. I'm not a fatalist. I'm not one who says that man doesn't have a choice. Well, we have a choice. Are we going to do what God wants us to do, or are we going to disobey? We have a choice. But I'm just saying at the end of the day, at the end of the picture, God has a purpose that will be fulfilled. He had a purpose to scatter people throughout the whole world, and it was fulfilled. But you know, it isn't just the lost world that fails to listen to God, is it? Because this story really stands as a testimony, and if you compare Genesis chapter 11 with the first few chapters of Acts, you find there's a similarity there. You know what Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? He said that ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Where do we find the disciples in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? The disciples stayed in Jerusalem. Where were the Christians staying in Jerusalem? What happened in Acts chapter 7, the end of the chapter? Stephen was stoned to death. He was martyred for his faith. The Bible tells us that it was at the hand of one named Saul. And we know Saul later, he became Paul the Apostle and did great things about getting the gospel to the whole world. You know, in Acts chapter 8, he made havoc of the church. And you know what Acts chapter 8 verse 4 says? They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. What did Jesus say in Acts chapter 1? Going to all the world. What did the Christians say? Hey, we like being a community in Jerusalem. We're already facing persecution. People don't like us, so we're just going to stay all together. God said, no, I'm going to allow that persecution to increase, and that persecution is going to be used of me to spread the gospel throughout the world. And then, of course, that man, Saul, became Paul the Apostle after he got converted on the road to Damascus when he was on the way to persecute more Christians. And he went all over the place. They say possibly even to England, but Europe, preaching the gospel. The gospel was spread, but at the beginning, what did man say? We said as Christians, no, we're gonna huddle together. We're going to stay together. What does God want us to do today as Christians? He wants us to go and tell other people. He wants us to share the gospel. What do we do sometimes? No, Lord, I'm too busy doing my thing. Is there a communication problem? No, we fully understand what God says, but we say, no, I'm too busy. I've got a better idea, God. Doesn't that sound like those people of Babel? You know, we need to get busy about doing what God has called us to do. The Bible indicates that the time seems to be getting pretty short. And to say we're too busy, or we have a better idea, or no, God, I don't think that that's what I really want to be involved in, is to say I'm going to build a tower and do my own thing. God wants us to go into all the world with the gospel. He wants us to be busy here with our friends, with our family, with our neighbors, with our co-workers, with all our community, and with our faithfulness to give to missions and pray for missions and encourage missionaries to spread the gospel throughout the whole world. What are we going to do? Is there going to be a communication failure? Or are we going to allow God to use us to do what He said we should do? Ask you this morning, is there a communication failure between you and God? I assure you it's not on His end. His word is very clear. His word says there's one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. His word says you can't work to get to heaven. You can't do enough good things. You can't weigh your good against your bad. You must believe in Jesus Christ. Confess your sin to Jesus and believe in Him as your Savior. Trust in Him as your Savior. Then you can have eternal life. It's a free gift, but He's the only way. You can't build it another way. You can't build it your own tower to get there. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Christian, are you about God's work, or are you still thinking you have a better way? Are you saying, yes, Lord, I will do what You asked me to do. I will serve You. I will love You. I will walk with You. I will do Your will. Or are you still trying to fight against Him? This communication, God has given us clearly His communication. The question is, what are we doing with it? We need to get on board with God's plan today, because He is concerned about us and He has the best plan for our life. Don't let there be a communication failure between you and God in your life. Let's pray together.